Okay, well, now you know what's going to happen. I'm going to say the words, turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion turns out. This is the last Torah portion, the last Parsha, in the book of Exodus, or Shemot. And it's called Parsha Pekudai, because that's how it begins. These are the Pekudai, the accounts of the Mishkan. Even the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were rendered according to the commandment of Moshe. By the way, I don't know if I actually said where to turn. It's chapter 38 of Exodus, verse 21. So chapter 38, verse 21. Anyway, these are the accounts as they were rendered according to the commandment of Moshe through the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. Now, remember these two folks, the two guys that were the primary craftsmen. Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, made all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe. With him was Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, a craftsman, skillful worksman, weaver in colors in blue and purple and in scarlet and fine linen. And all the gold, so here come the accounts, that was used in the work, all of the work of the sanctuary, even the gold of the offering, remember it was all given by the people that were in the mixed multitude, was 29 talents. Now, this is an interesting number, 29 talents, depending upon how much the talent weighs, and this is where there's a lot of variation. So I don't know that I have an exact number, but last number I saw said that's something on the order of maybe 1,500 ounces, and at current prices, let's see, that's probably on the order of, better part of $5 million, $4.5 to $5 million in today's depreciated fiat currency. So lots of gold. All the gold was used, again, was 29 talents, 730 shekels, so there's a little extra after the shekel of the sanctuary. Now the silver, from them that was numbered to the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,775 shekels, again, after the shekel of the sanctuary. So, at a becca ahead, that's half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone that passed over them that are numbered, so these are the males 20 years old and up, there were 603,550 men. So, 603,550. That's a number that eventually you end up committing it to memory because it appears several times, including, of course, in where we'd expect, the Book of Numbers, a number of places. But this is the number of men that were essentially battle-able, men over 20, including the tribe of Levi. And the 100 talents of silver, they were for casting the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil. 100 sockets and 100 talents. Each talent, each socket weighed a whole talent. And as near as I can tell, a talent is about the size of a bowling ball, probably weighs similar to what a bag of junk silver in the United States would be, and that's about 55 to 60 pounds. So that's a lot of silver. So you've got basically these not quite bowling ball-sized pieces that were used for the sockets to hold up the tabernacle. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid the capitals, and made fillets for them. Now, the brass of the offering, that was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with those, he made the sockets for the door of the tent of meeting, the brazen altar and the brazen grating and all the vessels of that altar, the sockets of the court all around, and the gate of the court and all the pins and the pins of the court. And coming on to the blue, the purple, the scarlet, they made plated garments for ministering in the holy place, garments, of course, for Aaron and for his sons, plural, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And it says he made the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. To make the gold thread, they beat the gold into thin plates, then cut that into threads and worked it in with the blue and the purple and the scarlet and into the fine linen. The work, it says, of the skillful workmen. They made shoulder pieces, joined them together at the two ends, and the skillfully woven band that was upon it, and that was used to gird it on, was of the same piece, or like the work thereof, of gold, blue and purple, and scarlet, fine twine linen, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Now, that's a phrase that I want to point out. We've seen it a couple times already. We're going to see it a whole lot more as this book comes to a climax, and I can't help but suggest, as we go through here, we will see there's a point to that. So they wrought the onyx stones, and they enclosed them in settings of gold, graven with the engravings of the signet, according to the names of the children of Israel. and they put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod to be stones of memorial for the children of Israel, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He made the breastplate, the work of the skillful worksman, the work of the ephod, of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen. It was square, four square. They made the breastplate doubled, a span the length thereof and a span the breadth thereof. Again, it was doubled. And they set on it, so this thing that was essentially the size of a hand, if you will, four square, four rows of stones. First one had a row of carnelian, topaz, and smaragd as the first row. And by the way, as I go through here, I'm going to note that a lot of this is going to show up. It's almost, but not quite identical to Exodus chapter 29. So we'll see if it sounds familiar, it's because it is. Second row, carbuncle, sapphire, and an emerald. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. And they were enclosed with fittings of gold in their settings. And the stones were according to the names of the Bnei Israel, the 12 tribes. According to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one according to his name for each of these 12 tribes. And they made upon the breastplate plated chains, wreathen work of pure gold. And two settings of gold, two gold rings, put those two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. They put the two wreathen chains of gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastplate, and the other ends of the wreathen chains they put on the two settings on the shoulder pieces of the ephod in the front part thereof. And again, if you compare this to verse 29, chapter 29, rather, you're going to see that almost everything is identical with one notable exception, and that would be the tense of the verbs that are used. It was, in fact, future tense, or the command tense, kind of think of it that way. And in this case now, it's the past tense. They made. They made two rings of gold, put them on the two ends of the breastplate, the forward edge on the side of the ephod. They made two rings of gold, put them on the shoulder pieces underneath and the front part of, close by the coupling, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastplate by the rings thereof, under the rings of ephod with a thread of blue, that it might be upon the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and so the breastplate might not be loosed from the ephod, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He made the robe of the ephod out of woven work, all of blue. There was a hole in the robe in the midst of it, like a coat of mail with a binding round about so that it wouldn't rend. And upon the skirts of the robe they made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells, along with the pomegranates, of pure gold. Put the bells between the pomegranates on the skirts of the robe all around between the pomegranates. So it went a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, upon the skirts of the robe all around to minister in Aham, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then they made the tunics out of fine linen, woven work for Aaron and his sons, the mitre of fine linen, and the goodly head tires, or turbans, some would think of them, kind of a wrapping of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twine linen, the girdle, fine twine linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, the work of the weaver in colors, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. They made the plate of the holy crown out of pure gold. And upon that, remember, they wrote a certain writing. We remember this one. It's kind of easy to remember. Kadosh le Yahuwah, holy, set apart unto Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And this, too, the only change from verse 28, in this case 35, that same section, is the tense. They tied to it, again past tense, a thread of blue to fasten it upon the mitre, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And thus it says in verse 32, all of the work of the tabernacle of the Mishkan, the tent of meeting, was finished. And the Bnei Israel made, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so they did. So I think here is where we start to see the understanding and the explanation. They made everything, all the work, and the Bnei Israel did it according to how it was that Yahuwah commanded Moshe. This is what they did. And of course, the key here is, over and over again, we're told, as they were commanded, that is precisely what they did. So they brought the tabernacle, the Mishkan, unto Moshe, the tent, all of its furniture, its classes, boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram's skins dyed red, covering of the seal skins, and the veil of the screen, the ark of the testimony, the staves for that, the ark cover, the table, the vessels, the showbread, the menorah, the lamps, even the lamps to be set in order, and all the vessels thereof, oil for the light to light the menorah, the golden altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door of the tent. The brazen altar outside, its grating, its brass, its staves, all of its vessels, the laver and its base, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its sockets, the screens for the gate of the court, the cords, pins, and all the instruments of service of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, the plaited garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the Kohen, and the garments for his sons to minister in the office of Kohenim. And according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, there we go, so did the B'nai Israel. They did all the work. Now, here is where we're going to get kind of a flashback. It may sound a bit like Genesis. It's going to sound a bit like Psalm 90 as well. And there's a lot of sages point out, Rashi says it really is, this is the basis of Psalm 90, verse 17. But it says, Moshe saw all the work. Who saw the work in Genesis? Yeah, it was Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh when it was finished. Behold, they had done it, even as Yahuwah had commanded it, even so they had done it, and Moshe blessed them. So it doesn't say that the work was tov, but it does say this was, I think, probably similar, same thing, almost. It was as Yahuwah commanded Moshe, which is even more important. Next chapter, chapter 4, he says, and Yahuwah at this point spoke to Moshe, and he said, on the first day of the first month. Wait a second, let's pause there. First day of the first month. Okay, remember what it is we're told, let this be a beginning of months to you. So we're talking about the springtime. At least that's the way I would read it. There may be people who say, oh no, he means January. No, I don't believe so. Anyway. On the first day of the first month, you will build, you'll erect, maybe rear up the tabernacle, the Mishkan, of the tent of meeting. And therein you put the ark of the testimony, and you shall screen the ark with the veil. You bring in the table, set the order, the showbread that's on it, bring in the menorah, and light the lamps for the menorah. Then you shall set the golden altar of incense before the ark of the testimony, put the screen on the door of the tabernacle, set the altar of burnt offering before the door, or outside the door of the Mishkan, of the tent of meeting. Then set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, put water in it, set up the court all around, and hang up the screen of the gate of the court. Then you take the anointing oil and anoint first the Mishkan and all that's in it. Then you hollow it and all the furniture thereof. It shall be set apart. Kadosh. Then you'll offer or anoint the altar of burnt offering, all its vessels, and sanctify the altar. It shall be Kadosh, Kadoshim. Right? Most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its base and sanctify it, and then bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then put upon Aaron his holy garments, and you shall anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister to me in the office of Cohen. Bring up his sons then, put tunics on them, anoint them, as you did anoint their father, that they may minister me in the office of Kohanim, the other priestly offices, and their anointing shall be to them for an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Here we go. Verse 16. Now, I've got this one highlighted because it really kicks off a sequence. We've seen it before. We're really going to see it now. Thus did Moshe. According to all that Yahuwah commanded him, so did he. And I remember several years back going and making a note in my Bible and counting them up. This is 18 times we're going to see this wording, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. 18 times in this parsha. So it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Now, why am I emphasizing that? It's been in here twice now. Well, it turns out, let this be a beginning of months for you. We're coming up on that time frame. So this first day of the first month, when the count begins for Pesach, is the day that they actually began to build, to rear up, to erect the Mishkan. So Moshe did it. He reared up the tabernacle, laid its sockets, set up the boards thereon, and put the bars thereof, and reared up its pillars. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle, put the covering of the tent upon it, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He took and put the ark, put the testimony in the ark first, and then put that with the staves, put the ark cover on it, put it above the ark, and brought the ark into the tabernacle. Set up the veil, the screen, to screen the ark of the testimony, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Then he put the table, the showbread table, in the tent of meeting on the side of the tabernacle to the north, outside of the veil. Then he set a row of bread in order upon it before Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Put the menorah in the tent of meeting over against the table on the south, on the side of the tabernacle to the south. He lighted the lamps in the menorah before Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe, put the golden altar in the tent of meeting outside the veil, and then he put the burnt incense of seven spices, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He put the screen of the door on the door of the tabernacle. The altar burnt offering he set at the door of the tent of meeting, and he offered on that the burnt offering and the meal offering, the mincha, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. He set the laver, this is the laver for washing, between the tent of meeting and the altar, put water in it, wherewith to wash, again it says so, so that Moshe and Aaron and his sons might wash their hands and their feet at that place. Then when they went into the tent of meeting, so that when they came near before the altar, they should wash, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. And then he reared up the court round about outside the tabernacle and the altar, set up the screen of the gate of the court. So, it says, Moshe finished the work. It's all set up. And then it says, the Ha'anan, the cloud. Now, this is the Anan is the same verb, the same noun rather that we saw in Genesis chapter 9, where after the flood, that's first use. Noah is told that he will, Yah, as a sign of the covenant, will set my bow in Ha'anan, the cloud. So the cloud this time covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Yahuwah, the kabod, literally filled the Mishkan. And it filled it so completely, Moshe was not able to go in to the tent of meeting, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yahuwah filled the tabernacle. And notice that when he was on Mount Sinai, Moshe was able to go in, but he can't go in here. It's just too thick. So whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went on their journey throughout all of their journeys. Now, we're closing in on the end of the book here, and it's kind of fascinating how the book of Exodus ends. We're going to get a reprise of this understanding of the cloud. When the cloud of Israel, when the cloud went on, taken up, then they went. But if a cloud was not taken up, they didn't journey. They stayed put until the day that it was taken up. And here we go. The final verse in the book, verse 38, says, For the Anan, Ha'anan, the cloud of Yahuwah, was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night, in the sight of Kol Habet Israel, all the house of Israel, throughout all of their journeys. And that's an important point. It's key, and we're reminded of the sages will often point this out. This cloud was the constant throughout all their journeys for 40 years in the wilderness. It was there, and it was the lead that they followed. When it moved, they moved. When it stayed, they stayed. And there's an interesting comment from the Rambam, as you know, who says essentially the exile. And the exile is not complete until the day that all Israel returns to its spiritual place. And he doesn't necessarily mean that it's the land, but essentially, if you think about it, what we have seen here is an exodus from the people of Israel, this mixed multitude, out of the land. They're going to go into the land, but the question is, do they ever really occupy the land? They never took the land as they were supposed to, and they did not stay. So when he says the exile is not complete until the day Israel returns to its spiritual place, it sounds like, and I can't argue with this understanding at least, that that is something that has not yet happened, because the B'nai Israel, and that would be us, at least as part of it, have not yet returned, not to the physical place, but certainly not to the spiritual place either. But regardless, during the time that they were in the wilderness, Elohim dwelt among them, and his cloud and his pillar of fire were the visible proof of that. So with that, the Torah portion ends. And of course, as you know, the tradition, and I think this is an interesting tradition at least, is when we get to the end of the book, we all say in unison, Chazak, Chazak, Venit Chazak. And as you know, my good friend, the late Rabbi Spivak, used to made a big deal about the word Chazak. I think it's a great word. And it does. It means be strong and of good courage. It has kind of a nice ring to it. And I think it's always been important. It was what Joshua was commanded. It was what the people of Israel were commanded. And I think it's probably, goes without saying, but it's great to say it anyway, that it is what we are commanded today. Chazak, chazak, be strong and of good courage.